Hey everyone, it's Anna. I just wanted to give a quick announcement before this episode runs. So you may have noticed that we did not release an episode last week. We were in conjunction with other really great podcasts. We were participating in the podcast blackout last week. We just didn't feel that it was an appropriate time for us to release an episode about various true crimes or paranormal topics, given the circumstances that the country and now the world is seeing right now in regards to social justice, police brutality, everything that's going on. Marissa and I feel very strongly about the Black Lives Movement and finding racial justice for everyone. We stand against police brutality. So instead of releasing an episode last week that we had recorded, we wanted our listeners to spend that time to research how they can help the movement. So whether that was looking up different racial justice organizations to get involved in or to donate to, going to protests, purchasing services or goods from businesses owned and run by individuals of color or indigenous people. We just really wanted to give that time and space for you guys to do your own research and reflect on the situation going on in the world right now. And like I was mentioned in our Instagram post, we didn't feel like having two privileged white girls talk about racial injustice was really appropriate for the moment. We obviously have very strong feelings about it, and we do talk about it in this episode. We do talk about the murder of George Floyd and the ensuing protests that happened because of that. But we just didn't feel it was an appropriate time to release the episode. So that being said, we are not silent about it. If you follow us on social media, you know how we feel about these types of situations. And we do talk about it briefly in this podcast. So I put this out there too because this was pre-recorded almost 2 weeks ahead of time. So some of the information that we talk about may not be the most up-to-date information because it was pre-recorded. But Marissa and I stand with our brothers and sisters that are Black and people of color. And we support you guys, and we will do everything that we can. We've been out protesting, donating, sharing us resources, information, and we hope that you guys do too. And just want to put that out there, and I hope you guys can do what you are able to do to help fight the system and support the cause. But just want to put that out there. Reach out to us if you have any questions or you need resources, or if you just need someone to talk to if you're feeling really lost in this uncertain time. Thanks. Bye. Cool.
Buddy, welcome to But What Do We Know podcast, episode 57, I think.
Wow.
I know. I'm Marissa.
And I'm Anna.
And if you haven't watched anything, the world is falling apart this week.
The world is falling apart, but good news, my audio may be fixed.
True. So something's coming together. I apologize.
Yeah, I apologize for that, everyone. And I came this close to quitting the podcast when I couldn't figure out how to fix it because I thought I was going to have to spend another $500 for a new microphone. And I'm like, I'm not doing it. I don't make enough money for this. But it's fine. Everything is fine. Yeah, I guess we should talk about the world being on fire, huh?
Oh, yeah, the world's on fire. Like, not that I'm trying to downplay anything, but you gotta, you know, every once in a while, you gotta laugh a little bit about the shitty stuff. Like, it's scary out there.
It's disgusting. I'm so...
It's a scary thing.
I'm exhausted.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know... Like, do we explain it? Do people know what we're talking about?
I think maybe because we have some, like, I mean, I'm sure everybody knows what we're talking about, but we should, if you can explain it, because you're much more up.
Oh, God.
I mean, I see the news mostly through social media.
Okay. Well, what had happened was that in the last week or so, another black man was quite literally murdered on the streets. His name is George Floyd, was detained, arrested, intervened by the Minneapolis Police Department for allegedly forgery, and four cops were involved who tried to detain him, question him, I don't really know, but in the process, they thought it'd be a good idea to throw him onto the ground and stick their fucking knee in his neck for 6 minutes as he gasped for air, said he couldn't breathe, and called out for his mom, who has been dead for 2 years. Oof. And he died. Yep. And tragically, and in the days that followed that, the police officer who had his knee in his neck was arrested for third-degree murder, which I think should probably be second-degree murder.
Agreed.
The three remaining police officers, as of this recording, are out and about. No charges as of yet.
Absolutely fucking so wrong.
And America's pissed.
America is pissed, and rightly so.
Yeah, so there were protests that turned into riots, and a lot of major American cities, there are, like, straight-up riots going on. People are burning buildings down, tagging, violence, destruction of property, and this is what happens. This is what happens when people of color are suppressed for hundreds of years.
Literally, hundreds of years. Our country was built on slavery, and everyone is shocked that this is happening.
It's like, and it's not because of only George Floyd. Like, no. He was just like, it's like the icing on top of the cake. So many black and, like, black, brown men, like, young men, have been killed, like, straight up murdered for by the police. No reason. And it's like, and there's so many that we hear about in the news, but there's so many more that we don't hear about daily. Like, this is a daily occurrence. Mm-hmm. And only a handful make it to national attention.
Wasn't it, correct me if I'm wrong, but wasn't it like a $20 grocery order or something like that he was detained for?
I've seen like various things. I saw someone said it was like a bad check, which I don't think it was, but someone said that it was suspicion of a counterfeit $20 bill.
Yeah.
But then someone's like, guess what? It was a real $20 bill.
So suspicion of a $20 bill, meaning that a counterfeit one, meaning that they saw him and assumed that because he was, excuse me, I'm going to burp, but because he's an African-American man, a black man, that it's counterfeit, you know?
Like, why? Why the fuck? For what purpose? Like, even if it was a fake $20 bill, you're gonna kill someone over $20 fucking dollars?
On groceries. It's not like it was on anything else. Like, you know what I mean?
And he wasn't being violent. He wasn't, like, trying to, like, resist arrest, or he didn't, like, wave a gun in their face, like... No reason. It's just like, it blows my mind. Like what world are we living in? What planet? What year is it?
I don't know.
I don't get it. And like, every day I watch the news or see a Facebook post or whatever, and I'm like, literally in tears. Yep. Like, I can't deal with it anymore. And like, I can't deal with it as a white woman
exactly.
who has tons of privilege. And I can only imagine what people of color are going through right now.
Yeah, I was actually thinking about that today because I've been like, I think that everything, and I'm not saying this to complain whatsoever. I'm just saying as, like, I've seen as a reaction to it, like, my anxiety has been, like, bing, like, totally increased. And I've seen that a lot in people that, you know, I know and that I'm around. And I'm like, yeah, you know, my anxiety is bad, but I'm like, I am just mildly uncomfortable. Like, that is, that is a reality facing people every day, and I'm a white privileged girl that has anxiety. Like, you, I think right. it's so important to check and see where you are, where you stand, check your privilege, see what's going on in the world.
Check your fucking privilege.
Yep. And, like, I think it's really important to keep learning and keep trying to... It's not any person of color's responsibility to educate you. You know what I mean? And so I think that as white people, we need to educate ourselves.
Yeah. It's... Like, and it's just so crazy because it's like, it's not hard.
No.
Like, I don't, you know what I mean? Like, what's so difficult about understanding someone different than you, about understanding someone else's struggles that you don't have the same struggles? Like, why are people so hard to just have compassion for someone that's different than them, that has different life circumstances? You know, it's just like,
because America's full.
What the fuck?
Look at our leader. Our leader is literally a sociopath.
Ugh.
With no empathy.
There's that meme that compares when all of the anti-quarantine protesters, aka white supremacists with their AK-47s, like, charged at Capitol buildings. These people are just misunderstood. They're unhappy. And then you have fucking people protesting
because of
the
death?
Fucking murder of black young men, and he called them straight up fucking thugs.
Yep.
Get the fuck out of here. Oh, when I hear someone say thugs, it makes me want to vomit. I get so disgusted.
Yeah, I don't know if this is true or not. I think there's a lot of misinformation out there, which everyone should be educated on as well. Did Trump have to go into a bunker or something like that? Is that true?
I did hear that on CNN today. I wasn't paying too much attention because I don't really care about Trump. But I think there was a threat, not to the White House. He was elsewhere, I believe. But wherever he was staying, there was a threat onto that location. So him, his wife, and their child had to be removed and put into a bunker.
Fucking
just let them go.
Ridiculous.
Just let them go.
Just leave the doors unlocked.
Don't tell them.
Let the kid go. Let Melania go. She's just a hostage.
That's true.
Just let them go. They didn't. They're just stupid.
You know, it's like so wild because I thought that during COVID that I kind of like weeded through all the people that I can't stand. And then this is happening. I'm like, oh, there's still more. There's still more I gotta delete.
I had a couple people in my family today that I was like, oh my God, you guys.
And like, I'm pretty vocal on social media, but I just don't. The people right now that I have, like, well, I have an issue with a lot of people, but right now, all of them who are like saying, why are these people ruining their communities? Like, two wrongs don't make a right.
Boo-hoo.
Martin Luther King was anti-violence. It's like,
No, he wasn't.
He was.
Yeah,
he was,
exactly.
But you fucking shot him dead.
Yeah.
Like, what are you talking about? And guess what? We're in the same place where we were during Martin Luther King's time.
Yeah, nothing changed.
Nothing has changed.
Nothing changed. It's so funny, though, because, I think you, when I was, like, a teenager, because, you know, you're very heavily influenced by the way that your parents and your family thinks. I was kind of almost, like, I didn't understand how riding worked, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And as an adult who, not to say that I ever thought anything against it, I just didn't understand it. And as an adult now,
right.
I see it so clearly why it needs to happen. And I support it so much more emphatically, like, than I did as a teenager who didn't know anything about the world. And I think there's a lot of adults who can take a note from like someone that grows up and learns something different. Like, you can change, you can learn. It's okay.
Yeah.
Like,
it's okay to learn. It's okay. I just saw a tweet about this. Like, it's okay to change your opinion about something.
Yeah.
Like, it's okay. Like, it happens.
Yeah, I think it's so important right now too, because there's people, mostly people our parents' age, who really do believe that the rioting is just, you know, just as bad, blah blah blah. And I think that there's a time where talking about that, like with your parents or your aunts or grandparents or uncles or whatever, would be uncomfortable. And I think like now is not the time to,
yeah,
like now is the time to be like, listen, we gotta talk, you know.
Well, and here's the thing too, like I just wrote a big Facebook post about this, and here's the thing, it's like, okay, objectively, sure, violence is bad, destruction of property is bad,
yeah,
from an objective standpoint. That people aren't doing this. People aren't rioting right now just to be fucking badass.
No.
They're doing it because no one is listening. We did marches. People protested. Yep. People kneeled. People gave speeches.
Nothing worked.
Has been done. So what do you got to do then? You got to burn down the fucking Starbucks. You got to burn down the fucking Target. Guess what? They'll be fine. They will rebuild. Now, I will say, yeah, like, try to, like, not do, like, don't tear down, like, small businesses and, like, you know,
yeah, exactly.
Tear down the corporations.
Exactly. I think you know, I don't have a problem with Target getting torn down. They'll be fine, you know?
Yeah.
It's people worship Target, so.
Well, did you see the letter from the CEO from Target?
No.
The CEO from Target put out a statement, and basically what he said was like, listen, we're with you. Like,
yeah,
we will. Target can rebuild. Like, you do you.
Yeah.
Like, we'll be fine.
That's the thing. Like, Target's not worried about it.
No, no.
They're like, just a little chump change.
I saw a new segment that Rodeo Drive in California was, like, boarding up, like, the Chanel store and, like, Burberry. I'm like, fucking burn it down.
Like, dang. If I was there and I was rioting, you better believe I would fucking go in, like, a Chanel store or some shit like that.
Oh, totally. And this is what I said, too, like, in my Facebook post. I said, if you're out supporting the cause, you're protesting, you're rioting, like, good on you. Like, yeah, white people need to stand up and be part of the
totally,
the movement. But I said, if you are a part of the riots, as a white person, do not smash windows.
No.
Do not tag. Because guess what? You're not the one that's going to be going to jail. You're going to just be a deter for them to go arrest and potentially murder,
yeah,
more
you're
black
there.
People.
You're there to protect and, you know,
you stand between the cops.
Exactly.
And, yeah.
Yeah, it's a tricky, scary time. And there's, like, it's really funny because people that I never thought I would talk about conspiracy theories with, I've talked about conspiracy theories with. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
you and me, we talk about this shit all the time.
Right.
But
right,
all of a sudden, if you are, like, a white person over the age of 30, you're a conspiracy theorist. I shouldn't even say 30, yeah, over, like, 50. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
You're a conspiracy theorist all of a sudden.
Well, it's crazy, too. And you gotta, there's so much media and footage out there that's not shown on the news, and you have to go to alternate news sources.
Definitely.
And you can't just watch CNN,
no,
or Fox or whatever. You have to see what else is going on there. There are cops that are protesting with the protesters.
Totally.
There are literally white people standing between cops and black people, so the black people don't get a fucking bullet put in their head.
Yep.
Like, and on the other, on the flip side of that, a lot of protests are peaceful until someone causes them to not be peaceful.
Exactly.
And there is evidence that a lot of the riots were started by the cops.
I know. There's a video. I didn't see it, but Tommy was telling me about it. There's a video of a cop literally smashing the windows of like a, an AutoZone or something like that. Do you think we're fucking stupid? The it's the internet. Like, the reason why this is so big, because people are like, oh, it's like the biggest thing, bigger than like in the 60s and stuff. They didn't have the internet then. They didn't have the communication that we had, that we have now. Like, we know what's going on. We're way more aware. And the cops aren't that fucking smart, let's be honest with you. Like,
someone posted, I think on Instagram I saw, in New York City, that their undercover cops are part of the protests, and they wear a certain color band around
like
their
a white
arm.
Band or something.
Yeah, and each day is like a different color, so each all the cops know what the color is that day, so they can like look out for one another, and like, and I'm like, of course, like a fucking course. I'm all for cops protesting, but guess what? You gotta fucking do it in uniform, because you are, you're a police officer. This is about the police.
Don't
as
be
much
a
as
bitch.
It is about, yeah, like fucking stand up and show what you are really supporting.
Agreed.
I have so many feelings and thoughts about it, and I felt bad because I didn't like post something immediately when everything was going down.
Yeah.
And I think I just had so much I wanted
so much
to
say.
Yeah, because there's so many like different aspects of the whole thing, and I'm like, I don't even know how to put into words everything that I'm feeling.
It's, yeah, it's the weirdest thing, too, to see something so scary and still feel kind of, like, proud in a way. It's a lot. And then on top of it all, I was thinking about this today. If the coronavirus is really at what they're saying, like, I don't know. I don't even know what's going on with the coronavirus anymore.
It's over.
It's over. If it's not, like, do we have the coronavirus? Because if they, we do, there's going to be a lot of cases probably.
Not the best time for a protest to start up during a pandemic.
No,
but
there's no social. Well, I got to say, in Bethlehem, they were social distancing. And then I think up like by you, like in Scranton and Wilkes-Barre and stuff, they did some social distancing.
Yeah,
but like in the big cities, that's not happening.
No, no. I'm so pissed because Scranton had a protest, a rally, and I didn't know about it until it was like over.
Same.
And it's and I guess like the actions are so like all of this happened and then protests happened. Like there wasn't enough time to get like word of mouth about that it was happening.
Yeah.
So I was pissed about that. But then I saw that Scranton's having another one on June 13th.
Okay.
And this one looks to be like so far I think on Facebook says 700 people attending.
Wow.
And I'm like, yo, obviously I'm going. But I was like, you know, I just, if a riot ensues and there's looting, I just want to be a part of it. I just want to see it go down. I want to, like, live the experience. So
we wanted to
I'm not saying Philly,
like, bad.
I'm not ensuing violence. I'm not saying, I'm not obviously not going to be throwing the first stone. I'm just saying, if it happens, I'm not condoning it. I'm just, I just want to see it.
yeah, no, I agree with you. Like, I think the one in that we were going to go to, the one in Bethlehem started, I was still at work because I worked this weekend, so we didn't go to it, but like, we're like, oh, we should go to like Philly or something and do so, but we would never get in the city.
No.
That would never
happen. It's like shut down right now.
Yeah.
It's, well, I texted my friends that live in Philly and it's like,
it's a war zone.
Yeah. She's like, yeah, everything's broken.
Everything's broken.
But if anyone's up in Scranton on June 13th, hit me up. Let me know. We can socially distance and meet up at the protest. Just let me know. Well, I guess that's all the updates in the world right now.
No. It's not.
Oh, no,
it's
more,
not.
There's more.
You know what we gotta talk about.
Don't even.
You know.
That's going to get me worked up again.
You know we got to talk about it. You know we got to.
It's not even a crime. It's just like, it should be a fucking crime.
It should be a crime. It should 100% be a crime. Like, the worst pop.
All right. Tell them what we're talking about. Okay. Tell them what we're talking
about. What's her
Micah
Stauffer. Okay, so Micah Stauffer, if you don't know who she is, which I didn't know who she was, she's a family YouTuber. Her and her husband and her four children now have a YouTube channel. I don't know what it is. I'm not gonna give the name because, like,
I think they deleted all of their videos off of their family channel.
So they adopted a little boy from China who they unfortunately named Huxley. Oh, poor thing. But Huxley has autism.
Mm-hmm.
And they were well aware of his autism when they adopted him from China. Mm-hmm. And there were numerous videos stating that they were aware and that they... There's actually a video from Micah that Micah said, "My son is unreturnable." And, like, literally, she said that. "My son is unreturnable." And then recently, they just came out with a video crying. And they were crying.
Ugh.
Because they were unaware. Now, they've had him for, almost 3 years.
Almost 3 years, yeah.
They were unaware of the severity of his autism when they adopted him, and so they chose to rehome him.
Quote, rehome. She said rehome. Not our words.
Rehome him with a woman who has medical experience and whatever, obviously a better place, but a lot of shit's coming out about it too, and he I know he did call them mom and dad, which fucks me up and makes me want to So they in the internet, they still kind of are. They're they're canceled forever.
They're canceled.
They're canceled forever. Have you seen the videos of her talking to him when he was having meltdowns and stuff?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. "Are we having a bad day?" Ooh. I saw this on TikTok. I was just scrolling through TikTok. Yep. And that's the TikTok I posted on my Instagram that you saw. And I went into a rage.
Oh, I went down a wormhole. I'm like, no.
Okay. So much wrong with this. Yep. First of all, she was well aware of his needs and his potential needs. Doctors told her and him, her husband, said that he would require intensive intervention, multiple people in and out of the home, multiple people interacting with him, doctors, everything.
Yeah.
He would need, he has severe autism.
It wasn't
autism.
A secret.
No. And they said to, and the doctors told her this because they said, "Listen, this is all that he's going to be requiring. Are you up for this? Are you willing to invest and have the resources and be part of this boy's life, knowing he has all of these needs?" And she was like, "My son is not returnable.
He's my son.
We love him regardless." Psh. Okay, so basically, she said that his needs were too much for them to handle. And the thing that, first of all, it's bullshit because he lived with them for 3 fucking years.
Exactly.
This little boy developed a bond with not just his parents, but all of his siblings that were in the house.
Listen, I wouldn't even have a dog rehomed in my house if they were with me for more than
a week.
I was gonna say 2 days, basically. I was talking with Cliff about this, and I'm like, so we've had Andy for not even 2 years now.
Can you imagine just getting rid of Andy?
He wouldn't be able to survive. I know he wouldn't. He's so attached to us, and we're so attached to him. we would all be lost with, like, can you, like, getting rid of the cats?
Oh, like, oh, they're little bitches.
Andy wouldn't, he would not make it, I don't think. Like,
No.
And to think that, and then I thought about that, and I'm like, oh my God, like, amplify that times, like,
a million.
Yeah. And
3 years. Three fucking years. And so there's that I have obviously an issue with. But two, which I don't know if this is more important or what, but she was literally, she was like making profit off of this kid for her YouTube channel. She would do videos like Huxley's 1 year adoption update, things that we're doing
China
with Huxley.
Adoption.
Like, China adoption. And then she posted it, and someone made a good point. I think it was another YouTuber. They're like, I'm all about, like, you know, educating people about the adoption for process and all that kind of stuff. But, like, she made one video. It's like, what I'm packing for my trip to China.
Yeah.
Excuse me? That has nothing to do with your adoption.
No.
So she was making money exploiting this poor little fucking kid. And obviously she has paid sponsorships and advertises, and her YouTube channel was monetized, so she was making money off of off this kid. And it would be different if she had all these videos about her other children, but she didn't. She only had it off of this Chinese baby that she adopted. Yep. None of her white biological children had any update videos about them.
No. There was a video I saw. It made me it just, you know, we've so many videos that make you want to cry this weekend. Like, and there's a video of him in a closet. Did you see that?
No.
He's in a closet in the corner, and she's like, are you done? Are you done? And, you know, he's little. He was like, it must have been close to when that he first got him, because he's tiny. And he just was, like, crying, clearly having, like, a meltdown. Probably some kind of, I'm guessing, like, he's hiding in the closet. He probably was having some kind of, like, sensory overload or something. And she, are you done? I just wanted to punch her in the fucking mouth. Like,
disgusting.
And she's, like, looking at the camera. She's like, this is Huxley's 8th meltdown of the day. Turn the camera off, you bitch.
What are you doing?
Yeah. Maybe, like, work with him. But it's, to be honest with you, I think there's a common theme amongst everything that's going on, and it's white people thinking that they're better than other races.
That's what I said in my Facebook post about Micah. I was like, she has a fucking white savior complex. Had to go adopt a little boy from China. Be like, oh, look at... And I don't know if you saw, but she had another video, because they were talking about doing another adoption in the future. And they said, well, maybe we'll adopt another child. Maybe from, like, Uganda or Ethiopia. Like, which... If you want to adopt, first of all, there's so many children in America that need to be adopted, first of all. Whatever. But if you want to adopt internationally, whatever. So many kids need to be adopted. But you are specifically looking for little white and brown babies to be adopted. Yep. Like, what are you doing? For what? For your fucking YouTube channel? For your Instagram page? Go fuck yourself.
Yeah, and then after they're not as, like, they're not little anymore, you dump them outside because they don't fit your aesthetic? Like...
So I posted on Twitter an article about her, and I was like, if one of her biological white children had an autism diagnosis, would she quote-unquote rehome that
definitely
child too?
Definitely not.
Someone commented, someone tweeted at me, they're like, for that child's sake, I hope so.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know what, you're fucking right, she's a piece of shit.
It's really sad, because I actually know someone that has been trying to go through the adoption process for a while now.
It's so hard.
Is not able, has had the hardest time. Like, it's not easy.
Yep.
It's a really long, hard, I can imagine, grueling process.
Mm-hmm.
And to see something like that, like, I just can't, I can't imagine how that must have felt, like, from that perspective, from someone who really wants to adopt. Like,
it's not easy. Like, the adoption, domestic adoptions are hard to begin with, and then international adoptions are so much more paperwork, so much more money, so much more of a time commitment. It's like, And for this woman, just because she has a lot of income because of her goddamn mommy blog, like, she can just do whatever the fuck she wants. And this is not only traumatizing for poor little Huxley, but this is also traumatizing for her other children.
Yeah.
Like, their brother, like, they're like, well, mom just got rid of our brother.
Can you imagine, like, every time they get in trouble, they're probably like, oh my God, she's going to give us away. She's going to rehome us. Like, I can't, they probably, like, form such a bond with him. And yeah, now they're like, well, I guess if we're bad, we're going to have to go somewhere else. Like, what the fuck?
And I can imagine, like, because a lot of times, like, for domestic adoptions, either if it's straight up adoption or foster to adopt, a lot of times you have, like, a trial run, like, a test period with, like, the prospective adoptive family. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure international adoptions, you don't have that option because it's in another country. But you chose to have an international adoption. You knew going into it that you weren't going to have, like, a quote-unquote trial run with this kid. And, like, he's a baby, like, when you adopted him. Like, I just... Anyway, she's canceled. Her YouTube, I think her personal YouTube page is still up, but her family YouTube page, all of the videos were deleted. Many of her paid sponsorships have pulled out of endorsing her, so she's losing money, so good. And I hope, and obviously she's getting a lot of social media backlash, so I hope she's fucking canceled forever.
Yeah, same. Same.
Oh, I got so worked up this week, Marissa.
So many things. So many things have just been happening, and, like, it's,
I don't even have words anymore. I'm just constantly disappointed. I was just thinking the other day, I was like, wow, we haven't had a Brink of Tears segment in a long time.
We haven't had a Brink of Tears.
But this week, I've just been crying all every day.
Crying all the time. Just been crying. Oh, I got pretty like emotional over that little kid that got, the little girl that got pepper maced. That was extremely upsetting.
Why?
She was probably all of what, 10, 11?
Maybe, yeah.
If that.
For no reason.
It's just stupid. Well, hopefully we can...
You know our opinions on everything.
Yeah. Hopefully we can distract you with some other true crime and or scary things this week.
I have a true crime this week.
I also have a true crime this week.
Mine's not great, but, you know, I had other things on my mind this week.
Yeah, so. Understandable. I mean, we already talked for 35 minutes, so...
I have no reviews to read, so...
I did order a couple different things... from update, Erica is best and she answered my call about my hard feet and I'm waiting on it, and I ordered it, and we're gonna see how it goes. I'll keep you updated.
Great. I'm sure everyone's super interested.
I know you're all waiting with bated breath to hear about my feet.
Oh my God.
I know. Literally, I was sitting there, and when it came out that Wednesday, I got a bunch of messages in a row from Erica, a video thing, and she was like, okay, girl, let me help you out. We can't have you having hard feet. And I'm like, yes, she's the best.
I hope I'd never hear the term hard feet ever again. It's like one of my least favorite terminologies ever.
It's such a weird gross term.
You and your hard feet.
My hard feet. Tap, tap, tap.
Ew.
They're not even that bad.
I don't know. I trust Cliff on this.
I know. Cliff is just... He's mean.
He's mean.
Okay. I guess before we go in, we should thank our podcast sponsor, Escandalo.
Escandalo.
So, as you know, Escandalo is a salon located in Southside, Bethlehem. It's actually been open since 2007, which I don't know why I didn't know this. They are currently closed due to the coronavirus, but when they do open, they offer services like haircuts, hair colors, waxing, eyelash extensions, makeup, styling, etc., etc. you can follow them on at Hair by a Scandal, or oh my god, at a Scandalo Hair, and call them at 610-625-9100. And if when they open, if you mention the podcast, you can get 10% off of any of your services.
Hopefully they can reopen soon. More places are reopening soon, so.
I know. My hair is gray. From the dry shampoo. Not like.
Okay. Now that we calmed down a little bit.
Yeah.
I hear you have a story that's going to get me riled up again.
It's going to get you riled up because guess what? It's about the police not liking someone that's black.
So, wow, what a theme we have going today.
What a surprise.
I had an idea that that was going to be the realm of the topic you were going to be doing, so I specifically made sure mine had no police involvement.
Oh, yeah, the police fucking... This is one of the worst police ones I've heard in a long time.
Oh, God.
It's, okay. It's pretty bad. Like, it's pretty upsetting.
Great.
I heard this a while ago, and then as I was scrolling through, I was hi Eric.
She said hi.
I was helping Cliff paint the other day, and I listened to like just YouTube crime things, and I just let it go.
Yeah.
And I've heard this one, and I'm like, oh shit, I forgot about this case. And it's like weirdly very relevant.
Oh great.
My case today is on Maitrice. LaVon Richardson. Maitrice Richardson. The case of Maitrice Richardson.
Do I know this?
You might.
Okay.
You might. If you... You probably will. It's pretty, like... Pretty common. Well, not common, yeah. But it's famous.
Yeah.
Okay. So, Maitrice LaVon Richardson was born on April 30th, 1985. She was the daughter of Latisse Sutton and Michael Richardson. And she was raised by her mother and her stepfather, Larry Sutton, in Covina, California. She attended South Hills High School in West Covina, California. She was involved in activities like dance and cheerleading. She was very well liked. She was said to be very kind and a really good friend to everybody. She was like super well liked. She was beautiful, like so pretty. Oh, wow. Oh my gosh. So, Maitrice obtained her bachelor's in psychology in 2008 from California State University, Fullerton. And she was very close to her family, but, like, she really expressed herself in college a lot. Like, she learned a lot about herself as a person. She did come out as a lesbian in college. Mm-hmm. She was met with immense support and love from her family and friends. And at the time of her death, she was dating her girlfriend Tessa for about 2 years.
Okay.
So Maitrice was like very smart, very successful. She planned to apply to graduate school and get her doctorate in child psychology.
Ooh, smarty.
Smarty, smarty. But she was super fun too. Like she had a very outgoing, fun, like partying kind of side. She actually worked as a go-go dancer.
Ooh, that's fun.
Yeah. And if you don't know, a go-go dancer is not a stripper.
No.
It's like a person that... It's like a hype girl, kind of.
Ooh, I wish I had the personality to be a hype girl.
I wish I had the body and personality and looks to be a hype... I wish I had anything about me that I could be a hype girl. It sounds so fun.
Yeah.
So, yeah, she was a go-go dancer at a popular dance club. And
not that there's anything wrong with being a stripper. I just have to put that out there, too.
No, I know. There's nothing wrong with being a stripper at all. I admire strippers 100%. But a lot of people jealous get this. Of them. Me, too. I always said, like, if I had the tits, I would totally be a stripper.
Sorry, Mom.
Sorry, Mom. Sorry, JD. I'm sorry. But it's, like, a very different thing. I guess, like, that seems like something that everything I read is, like, oh, she's a go-go dancer, not a stripper.
Right.
Kind of it's deal. Different. Yeah. So, she actually attended a Playboy Mansion Whoa. Hot summer night party as a guest model. So, she was, Yo. Like, a beauty. And she competed as a beauty pageant contestant as well. So, after graduating, Maitrice moved to Watts, California to move in with her great-grandmother, Mildred. So, Mildred was 91, and she was living by herself, and because Maitrice was a nice person and cared about her great-grandmother, she decided to live with her to help her around the house and take care of her and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just totally being nice. Not, she didn't have any weird, any, whatever. She just hung out with her. And they had a very good relationship. They had a dinner, they had dinner together every Wednesday night. It was like their special thing where they would talk about the week and hang out and just chat. So they had a, they had a very good, cute relationship. But they did not have dinner together on the evening of September 16th, 2009. Maitrice told Mildred that she was not going to have dinner. She wouldn't be able to have dinner with her that night, that she had plans. And Mildred was, like, totally cool. She's like, no biggie. Have fun. Blah, blah. They had a very good relationship. So they just, like, caught up about the day and everything before, while Maitrice was getting ready to go out. So Maitrice left the house around 5 p.m. She was planning on going to the beach in Malibu, so she drove about 40 miles there. She arrived to, in Malibu at around 7 p.m., and she went to a restaurant called Joffrey's? I don't know. I think it's Joffrey's. It was a bougie. It was bougie.
It sounds bougie.
The restaurant was valet parking only. So, and Maitrice was second in line. And the valet driver told her, just wait, I have to go park this car. I'll come back and then I'll park your car. So, whatever. He drove away. He parked the car, came back. When the valet driver came back, Maitrice was inside of his car. The valet driver's car. So, and he's like, what the fuck are you doing in my car, basically? And he said that when he asked her why she was in his car, Maitrice responded with a string of nonsense words. It made nothing that made sense. What? Just, like, gibberish.
Yeah.
So, whatever. He escorted her out of the car, and he took her into the restaurant. I'm not, I gotta tell you, I'm not 100% sold on why he, this wasn't the end and why he wasn't like, maybe we should call you somebody. But he didn't.
Of course.
So, the valet driver, so she went into the restaurant, she was seated, she got a nice cocktail, and she got a $60 steak. So she was, like, taking herself out in the town, which, I mean, hey, you know what?
Good for her.
Good for you, girl. Like, treat yourself.
Remember restaurants?
No. So, but, okay, so it's like a bougie restaurant, all right? And this, I wouldn't do this in even a not bougie restaurant, honestly. But there was a group of people around her, and Maitrice was, just went over and pulled up a chair and sat with them and joined them. And she's just like, I'm sitting here now. So, yeah, the people, it's actually, like, a really good thing that she did this, because this helps their the case so much, because there were so many witnesses. The people at this table, they were, like, cool with her. They're like, oh, yeah, sure, come sit with us, whatever. But they said that she was talking nonsense when she got over there, like, just, like, saying bizarre things. Things like, and these are direct quotes, Mother Nature is my mother. She said that she was from the planet Mars. She said that she was avenging the death of Michael Jackson.
Sounds like me on a Friday night.
Yeah. What kind of cocktail, baby? So the group eventually just got their check and they left. And they're like, okay. Maitrice went to follow them, but the manager stopped her And the manager was like, yo, you didn't pay your bill. It was a big bill because she had gotten, like, you know, a $60 steak.
Maybe she has some appies.
Yeah, she was just, maybe a little dessert.
Oh.
A little cheesecake.
Some tiramisu.
Some tiramisu.
Creme brulee.
Ooh.
I'm hungry.
So, yeah, but Maitrice was like, nope, my friends paid for the bill.
Oh.
Meaning the people that she was sitting with that she just met. And the manager was like, no, they didn't. You need to come in. And I want to say the bill was like $90 or something. Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah.
Something weird. But the manager was smart. She knew that something was wrong with Maitrice. So she was not letting her leave the restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
So she asked to call someone for Maitrice. And weirdly, Maitrice gave the manager her great-great-grandmother Mildred's number, who's 91 years old, who lives, like, 2 hours away.
Yeah.
And the manager called Mildred, who was super confused. Like, she's obviously not going to, I think it was, like, 10 o'clock. She's probably going to bed.
Yeah. She's not already in bed.
Yeah. And they were like, they told poor Mildred that she needed to come to the restaurant to sign the bill, to pay for the bill. But other people in the restaurant, they were like concerned. They offered to pay the bill. I guess some of the staff were even like, listen, like we'll chip together and pay for it for her. But the manager, yeah. I think the manager was using this more as like a tactic to keep her there for a safety mm-hmm. reason than the bill, you know what I mean? So the manager called the police. And here's where it all Uh-oh. Goes downhill.
Oh no.
So yeah, she called the police because she was really concerned for Maitrice. Obviously, like something was definitely wrong with her.
Right, right.
I wanted to put the recording of the phone calls on. This is the recording from the manager at Joffrey's.
Okay.
Can you hear it? Hi, I'm calling
mm-hmm.
from Joffrey's restaurant, Malibu. We have a guest here who is refusing to pay her bill, and we think she sounds really crazy. She may be on drugs or something. We are wondering if someone can come by and pick her up.
Okay, well, what's the address there?
It's 27400 Pacific Coast Highway.
And is she a white, black, Asian, Hispanic?
She's a young black girl. She's probably in her 20s.
Okay, what's she wearing?
She's wearing a black t-shirt and I think blue jeans.
Is she with anybody else?
No, it's just her.
I am calling.
Cool. Hold on, that's the next one. Okay. So yeah, so the manager called the police, and the police came. Mm-hmm. The police noticed that Maitrice seemed really nervous, like she seemed a little off.
Mm-hmm.
So they took her out for a sobriety test, because, you know, that seems right. like the most logical explanation for this. But when they did the sobriety test, they determined that Maitrice was sober.
Wow.
And not under the influence.
Yeah.
Police asked if she would just pay the bill. They're like, can you just pay the bill and it'll be fine?
Leave.
Yeah. And Maitrice was like, I my wallet is in the car. Can you go check in my car and get me the wallet and I can pay it? So the cops went in the car and they didn't find the wallet but they did find a little baggie of weed in the center console.
No.
Yeah. Yeah. So they arrested her.
Of course.
Mm. They arrested Maitrice. She was detained and booked at the Malibu Lost Hills Sheriff Station, approximately 10 miles up the Malibu Canyon. And her car was towed to a nearby lot. So Mildred, poor little Mildred in all this, like, can't. She calls Maitrice's mom, Latisse. Now, Latisse is literally the rock of this story. Like, she is one of the most, like, amazing mothers I've ever, I think, heard in any mm-hmm. true crime case. So Latiz calls the restaurant, and the restaurant manager tells Latiz what happened. So Latiz assumes that her daughter is drunk, but mm-hmm. she knew that Maitrice is not a big drinker. So she's a little mm-hmm. concerned, but Latiz also lived 60 miles away from the police station, and she had a 10-year-old daughter at the time. So she was mm-hmm. like, I'm just going to call the police station yeah. and talk to them. So, okay, I'm going to play the clip from here.
I am calling. I'm a little frazzled right now. I understand my daughter is being brought into the station. My Therese Richardson, have they made it to the station yet, and she's been booked.
Okay, do you know where she's coming from?
It's some restaurant out in Malibu, and I didn't even think to get the name. The manager came in.
The only place we have somebody that's in custody that they just announced on the radio that they're coming up is from Joffrey's. In Pacific Coast Highway. It's okay. The only female that's being brought up to the station as we speak. They actually just put it on the radio right before you called.
Okay. I'm her mother. Oh, okay. And are you guys going to book her and then release her on her own recognizance tonight? Because it's dark, she doesn't have a car, and I don't want her wandering out. I'm totally just taken aback because this is so out of character for her. Yeah. And you'll see when she comes in, she's well-spoken. I think the only way I will come and get her tonight is if you guys are going to release her tonight. If she's going to be held in custody for some type of arraignment tomorrow, then I will wait until tomorrow. She definitely has no place, you know, I mean, she's not from that area, and I would hate to wake up to a morning report, lost somewhere with her head chopped off, so I guess I would have to come and get her. Oh, my God.
Yeah, we're in a great house. The only thing is, at least in the station here, she will be separated, so nobody's going to be with her. So at least that's, the plus thing, so you don't have to worry about her safety.
Oh, yeah. No, I feel safe with her being in custody. It's being released, but I'm worried about it. It's crazy out here. All right. Well, then I will more than likely call and touch bases with you guys a little bit later.
She'll call you as soon as she comes in, too.
Okay. So
she sounds fun.
I love Latiz. She's my favorite. But it fucking broke my heart when I heard this. And she was like, she's well-spoken. You'll see.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, she has to explain herself.
Mm-hmm. I was thinking that, too.
Like, how often does that happen?
I was just thinking that because if that was me and I was arrested or whatever, my mom wouldn't have to say,
No!
She's well-spoken. Because I'm white. So, yeah.
So upsetting. So upsetting. Yeah. But you can hear that. Latiz is like pretty chill about it. She's like, listen, just keep her. Yeah. She doesn't know where she's at. I don't know what's going on. I'll come pick her up in the morning. And the cop is also very cool.
Right.
And is like, okay, yeah, she'll be safe here. No worries. Like, it's totally fine. So, yeah. So she's detained there. And hold on, I'm sorry. At 5 a.m. the next morning, Latiz hadn't heard anything from Maitrice. So she called the police station again, and I'm going to insert another one. So, yeah, Latiz calls again, where she finds out that Maitrice was released at 12:30 a.m. in the middle of nowhere, and she hasn't heard anything from her daughter. So,
great.
Here's the police call, or the call.
I'll call and touch bases with you guys a little bit later, 10:30, 11 o'clock.
Okay, let me chat to the jailer. Hold on, please.
Thank you.
Station, Baumgartner.
Yes, hi. My name is Latiz Sutton. I called not too long ago regarding my daughter, Maitrice Richardson. How long before a missing persons report can be filed? Is it 24 or 48 hours?
Yes, no. Well, it depends on the circumstances, but I didn't take your call, so I'm not familiar with it. Did she just not return home after going out?
She was arrested last night. This is the first time she's been arrested. She's in an unknown area.
Uh-huh. She's never been in. She's without a vehicle. Nobody can find her.
And where was this at? Where was she arrested at?
Your facility. Her name is Maitreese Richardson.
Okay. Do you know if she's here now, or was she released?
They said she was released.
Okay. And what time was she released?
At just shortly after 12 a.m.
Yeah, normally I wouldn't recommend doing one that soon.
Right, what is the time frame?
You know, I guess probably 24 hours would be reasonable. I mean, if there would be some mitigating factors, you know, where, you know, you would suspect maybe something, you know,
right? She doesn't know the area. She's never been in your area before.
Where does she live?
She is unfamiliar with that area.
Do you think she possibly could have gotten a bus home?
No.
And
listen, my child has never ridden a bus.
Okay.
No.
Right.
She would not know how to ride a bus.
I would probably wait till, you know, early this morning. And if she doesn't turn up, you can certainly call. I don't suspect anything bad happened.
I'm concerned because, first of all, I thought they were going to keep her overnight because she was highly intoxicated. Something is obviously going on with her.
Have you talked to the jailer? And
yes, I have. He said he tried to get her to stay, but because she was an adult, they had to let her go. I believe that she is highly depressed, and she's in a depressive state.
You know, it could be possible that maybe she, I mean, there's a lot of options and a lot of possibilities, and I don't think all of them would be, you know, something dire, but I can certainly understand your fears, you know, being your daughter and all that.
Well, I think
and all that.
That's what has me
that's worth you more than just her, okay.
That and the fact that she's in an area where she doesn't know where she's at.
Yeah, does she take medication at all?
No, she. I believe it's a state that she's in right now because of just the weird activity that's been going on.
What's her name?
Maitreese.
Okay.
Richardson.
Okay. And your name, ma'am?
Latisse.
Okay. Here's what I want you to do. Why don't you wait a couple hours? And give us some time to kind of, I'll go back and talk to the jailer and try and get a timeline of when she was released and, you know, make sure she's not asleep in our lobby or anything like that. And then once you give us a call back in a couple hours, if she hasn't shown up or made contact with you, then maybe we can do something for you, okay?
Well, Sheriff Station Office, can I help you?
Okay. The patience of this woman, like, I would not be that patient.
That's what, like, the comment I've seen the most in, like, videos and articles I've read is that her composure during this is unreal. Mm-hmm. I would be flipping the fuck out.
Would have lost my shit.
I don't even know how. And you know what? Honestly, I think, like, both of our moms would not be able to deal that way.
My mom, my mom, are you kidding? Lose her shit.
Yeah, no way.
Like, my mom sees a car accident and she calls me. She's like, hey, I was like, hey, are you home? I'm like, yeah. She's like, why? She's like, oh, I just saw a car accident. Just want to make sure it wasn't you. That's my mom's level of psychotic.
Yeah, no, I really admire her for her. Her ability to not flip the fuck out.
Oh, God.
And I think that was a police officer on the phone. I'm not 100% sure. Was such a fucking idiot.
Yeah. He's like, well, what's her name again? Excuse me.
Oh, let's make sure she's not asleep in the lobby. Bitch, you should know who's in your lobby.
Aren't you sitting in the lobby right now, sir?
Yeah. Oh, well, I mean, I don't think it's anything dire. Maybe she's, like, upset. Shut the fuck up. Does she take any medications? Bitch.
He's like, I'm sure there's a lot of different options.
There's not.
Yeah.
Like, And it, hearing her get upset at the end is, like, the worst, because she's like, ugh.
And I think, because I think I've heard this case elsewhere, it should be noted, this is Malibu, and I think people confuse Malibu with L.A.
Yeah.
Like, Malibu is, like, deserted. Like, it's not a
city. It's like ranch land. Ranches. Yep.
Yeah, yeah. So it's not like she walked out of the police station and hopped on a bus somewhere. Like, it's a barren, it's barren land. That's why celebrities live in Malibu, because they're isolated from
it's a lot of people. Very mountainous and
yeah,
like not just a place where you walk around.
Right. And right. It's not a
city. I was like, yeah. And she, when she was like, my child's never ridden a bus before, I'm like, you know what? That's me 100%. Like, I would be lost.
Oh, I used to ride the bus all the time.
I've ridden the bus to school and stuff, but not, like, the city bus.
I thought I was so cool because, like, I didn't get my driver's license till I was, like, 17. So my parents wouldn't drive me anywhere, so I would take the city bus, like, around town. I would take the city bus to, because my high school didn't have busing. I would take the city bus to school. Wow. And then when I went away to college, I would take the bus from Scranton to New York City to see my boyfriend, from New York City to Boston. Yeah. I thought I was an independent woman at the age of, like, 18.
Yeah, we didn't have a bus in Jim Thorpe, so, like.
Jim Thorpe's so wholesome. You don't need a bus
They had a train. It just drove around the mountain. That's it. There's no bus. But yeah, I just, and it fucking kills me, the extent that, you know, people need to explain themselves if they're not white, like.
Well, just, the fact that it's, and how old was she when this happened?
I believe she just graduated from college, so she'd be like.
So she's like in her early 20s.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's the thing, is like, I understand at 18 you're an adult, but. Like, early 20s, not like, really. You know what the fuck's happening. Like, if your if the parent says, like, she doesn't know where she's at, she doesn't know what she's doing, she's 21, 22, like, you gotta listen to the parent.
Yeah, that's her mom. Yeah. Your mom knows when, you know, and I think, like, the mother intuition is more important than a lot of, like, police officers really take, like. I feel like if your mom's like, I feel like something's wrong, then you should probably listen to it, because moms are usually always right.
Well, how many moms are there where their child died or was murdered and, like, the mom knew that their child was gone? Like, I didn't feel my child anymore.
Well, that's, like, Latisse said this. It's, like, later in it, but she said, she's like, it's like a light went, she's like, her light is out. She's like, she's not here anymore.
Oh, God, my heart.
Awful. Awful. Yeah, this is a very upsetting story.
So police
told Latisse that they released her at 12:30 p.m. that night. Steve Whitmore. Never mind, you know, at nighttime, but like in the morning. Which, like, first of all, why would you ever? She didn't have a car. They drove her there.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. They didn't drive her there. They just let her go. There was nothing around. They didn't offer to take her anywhere. They didn't call anyone. They just said, go ahead. Knowing that she was obviously in some kind of, like, psychological distress or something.
Right.
Something's wrong. Like, you know, you don't need extensive training to see that in someone.
Right.
Steve Whitmore, the spokesman for the Los Angeles County Sheriff's Department, said that Mitrice was released from jail because, and I quote, she exhibited no signs of mental illness or intoxication. She was fine. She's an adult.
Great.
Yeah.
Great. She was just acting like a psycho at the restaurant and not drunk, but okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. She's an adult. You know who else was an adult? Like, Ted Bundy, Charles Manson, Hitler. Like, I don't know. What the fuck? I don't understand the rationale in that. But no. They said that they encouraged her to stay, but she just left and they didn't offer her a ride. And all she had was her ID and her keys.
Great.
And like you said, it's a very dark, deserted, treacherous area.
Like, how is she gonna get anywhere? Like, no phone, no money. Like, how
exactly? So, and Latisse you can tell in the phone call too, like, she thought it was very out of character for her daughter to leave. I don't believe that Maitrice was a very, a person to do anything dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
Besides the, like, go-go dancer and beauty pageant part, like, I kind of, like, see myself in Maitrice a lot. Like, she's still got that very, like, naive side of her. Like, when I was that age, like, I didn't know what the fuck was going on.
Right, right.
And... but they did find out Maitrice attempted to call Mildred several times, but Mildred had missed the phone calls. I'm guessing she was sleeping.
No.
At several hours later, at 6:30 a.m., the police received a phone call. I'm not going to insert it because I basically just, like, described it here. She was seen in the backyard of a former news anchor, Bill Smith, in Monte Nido.
Hmm.
When Smith, it was in a ranch, so he had a ranch. And when everybody has a ranch around there, I guess. When Smith opened his window, he asked Maitrice if she was okay, and Maitrice told him that she was just resting.
Sounds rational.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Exactly. Neighbors stated that they heard a woman's voice in the tennis courts of Smith's home. Some others stated that they heard and saw Maitrice leaving or attempting to enter Smith's home, and that she had been in the presence of a man who frequented the home for a few days after her disappearance. Neighbors also stated that they heard loud screams in a vacant home around the time that Richardson went missing, and they stated that the police were called. So that's fun. So the police went out to the ranch and they brought dogs, and the dogs detected Maitrice's scent right away in the yard. So it was definitely her. But the scent trailed off, as well as her footprints. It just kind of led to nowhere.
Right.
But police decided they were going to search Maitrice's car, which, like, why didn't you do that before?
Yes.
And they found some weird shit. They found a bunch of journals just filled with nonsense. Like, literal, nothing made sense. And they went on and saw on her social media that she had been posting, like, frantically the night before. Like, so much that they don't believe that she slept at all. She was just up writing and posting and all kinds of stuff. So... they did that, and then they found out that there were some weird... I'm going to, like, jump back, but Maitrice's family, after the fact, reported that she had some really weird behavior happening previous to this incident.
Mm-hmm.
So Maitrice's family reported that she was doing weird things, like she left a bunch of her business cards around and hid them in her aunt's house. Like, her go-go dancing cards. She left a note on her uncle's car that just said, "Black woman scorned." Yeah. And then I found this on an article. I'm not 100% sure the, like, validity of it. But this is a text conversation between... I'm pretty sure it's valid because from what I've, like, cross-referenced, it seems legit. Maitrice sent her mother a few days before the incident some weird text messages. So I'm gonna read the read the transcript. So this is Latisse. "You have to tell me what's going on with you. You've been somewhat elusive and philosophical. Tell me what's up. Have you found yourself in a state of sadness? Are you crying without reason or understanding? I'm concerned. Help me understand what's going on with you. Are you feeling lost, helpless, alone, rejected?" Which, like, I think when you listen to how Latisse talks on the phone, I can imagine her saying something like that.
Right.
To her daughter. Like, she's trying to reach out.
Mm-hmm.
So Maitrice replies, "I'm writing a book because you told me I can be anything I wanted. You told me I was Miss America. You told me I was America's Next Top Model. Now do you know what I want to be when I grow up? Miss Mother Nature. Because Miss America is a fake-ass joke. along with everything else we see. So I'm trying to find my way to Michelle Obama to see if she will talk to me, to Mr. Obama, about creating my position within the White House. And her mom said, yeah.
Okay.
Her mom said, call me.
Oh, no.
And she said, I feel joy, mommy. Not everything has to die to live. I heard in the Bible, Jesus died so we can live forever. Now I have to prove the unlogic.
Okay. Something's happening.
Something's wrong. So, like, okay. Something's weird. No, and then they also, so they found in her car, her wallet and her phone, as well as the journals, the things that they sent in for her to, that she sent the cops back to look for. But, you know, they couldn't find that.
But they found the weed.
But they did find the weed.
Oh, fuck.
And I guess, like, I guess it wasn't in a spot that you would, like, not be able to see it right away.
Yeah, yeah.
And then they went into her bank account, and her debit card had over $2,000 on it, so she could definitely have paid her bill.
Yeah.
Like, there's nothing she had, yeah, you know, something was wrong. So, I don't know how I feel about this, but LAPD psychologists believe that she was experiencing bipolar disorder, like a manic kind of episode.
Manic episode, yeah.
Could
be.
Could. But I don't know. I just don't buy that. 100%. I don't.
Well, what do you think?
I don't know. It's like she's right at that perfect age for some kind of schizoaffective disorder.
Yeah.
You know, like early 20s.
Mm-hmm.
Potentially brought on by some kind of stress, like her life changing or, you know.
True.
It just seems a little extreme for, I mean, but, you know, it could definitely be that I could just be theorizing, but thought it was a little weird. So Latisse was starting to become very suspicious of the police, as you can imagine.
Of course.
So she requested any footage that the police had of Maitrise from that night. Which the police responded that they didn't have any because they didn't use any. They didn't record anything in that police station. The cameras weren't for recording.
God.
So Latisse hired a lawyer. Thank God. And the lawyer claimed that this would not happen if Maitrise would have been, well, he said a celebrity, but he meant, you know, it's a race thing, unfortunately. And it's 100% true. So they accused the LAPD of negligence. And on January 9th, 2010, 4 months after she was reported missing, the Los Angeles County Sheriff's Department conducted one of the largest scale searches in the history of the department. There were over 300 trained volunteers, and they searched over 18 miles in the area of Malibu Canyon. They searched both air and ground, creeks, trails, ridges, but they didn't find her. So, there's an email. I don't really know where this fits in, but there's 3 days after Maitrise's disappearance, one of the lieutenants sent an email to a supervisor. And he said, because he emailed the supervisor because he wanted to make sure she was all right. She was a little ditzy at Joffrey's, and a deputy checked her for intoxication. She wasn't drunk, but the deputy felt she was acting unusual and was uneasy about letting her go. And he said, in the end, the deputy brought her because of his instincts. The fact that she disappeared validated his instinct. And that's all. That's just an email I found. So, okay. Her father, sorry, this is like a really long one.
No, go ahead.
Her father, Maurice. Oh, no. No, I'm sorry. Maurice Dubois, the father of teen Amber Dubois, who was murdered. assisted Richardson's family in a two-day search on the 5th and 6th, June 5th and 6th, 2010, in the Monte Nido area of Malibu Canyon. There were over 100 private citizen volunteers that participated in the search area. They didn't find her remains, but they found racially and sexually offensive graffiti on the walls of a culvert in the canyon. The graffiti was fresh, and there were paint cans, brushes, and other evidence left at the scene. Then 3 weeks later, Maitrice's dad was in Las Vegas, okay? And he claimed that he 100% saw Maitrice in Las Vegas working as a prostitute. So he stopped the car. Yeah, he stopped the car and he yelled her name and she turned around and ran, like, booked it. And he's like, that's her, that's her. But it wasn't, unfortunately. So then, like, as time went on, police were like, oh, wait a second, we do have footage of my trees. It's just we, like, forgot about it.
Oh, great.
Police noted, in the footage, they noted that when Maitrice was released, they had footage of her walking out. She walked by a deputy, and the deputy, they would not give up this deputy's name. They were like, oh, he had nothing. He was just coming in to do something, and then he left. And so, like, her, Latisse was, like, real suspicious of this guy, but nothing ever came from this dude. He was just a guy. He did a couple traffic violations, and the fact that she was at that ranch, it, like, the timeline, if he took her or something, it wouldn't really, it doesn't really, you know what I mean, match
right,
up.
Right.
On August 9th, 2010, the Rangers headed into Dark Canyon to check on an eradicated pot farm. And while they were investigating this pot farm, they stumbled upon Maitrice's remains.
No.
Less than 8 miles from the Lost Hills Sheriff's Station and within 2 miles of the location where she was seen.
Ugh.
So Maitrice's body was found naked.
Ugh.
And LAPD, when they investigated it, they took the body and they moved it from its original spot. And put it somewhere else.
Why?
And they found clothes next to it, and their ultimate decision was that the animals took her clothes off. And laid it around.
I was like, a possum undressed her? I don't understand.
Listen, I know a lot of guys that can't take a bra off. There's no way some rabbit. One of the biggest pieces of bullshit I've ever heard in my life.
Oh my god.
Now, police were advised against moving Maitrice's body by the coroner himself. But they did it anyway.
Oh my god.
And the coroner's office refused to... Now, the worst is, you can watch the press conference, but Latisse found out about the remains not even from the police. She found out from a journalist that she was working with.
Oh no.
And the clothes that were found were a pair of Levi jeans, which she's like, my daughter always wore Levi jeans, and I know she was wearing blue jeans and a black shirt, and that's what they found. So she's like, I know that's my daughter.
Damn.
Yep. And yeah, so they, and coroner's office to this day have refused to let Latisse see any of the clothing that was found.
What?
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know.
It's weird.
Maitrice's death was ruled as undetermined. But Latisse obviously feels very strongly about the fact that she believes that it was a homicide. Her quote about it, she said, my daughter is a city girl. She did not wander into that canyon. I believe she was suffering from mental illness. Somebody took advantage of that. I believe she was possibly raped, definitely killed, and eventually dumped.
Oh, God.
The Richardson's, Maitrice's family filed several lawsuits against the LA County Sheriff's Department for releasing her from jail, even though she was experiencing severe bipolar disorder at the time. Mm-hmm. In 2011, her parents, who had sued separately, were awarded $450,000 each.
Wow.
Richardson's girlfriend, Tessa, refutes any claims that Maitrice had ever suffered from mental illness before. And then an international review board reviewed the case and said that the police had done exactly what they were supposed to do.
Are you fucking kidding
me? Nope.
Oh my god.
This case, I was reading this and like, you gotta be fucking kidding me.
Well, clearly they didn't do exactly what they were supposed to do because they awarded her parents $1 million.
Exactly. Like,
get the fuck out of here.
This is like an upsetting one. That poor, I know 100%, for 100% fact that the police had something to do with it. Like,
oh, totally.
I heard like somewhere, I don't know like where I remember seeing this, but I guess she was somewhere around a place where they had done pornography, like porn videos. Not that there's anything, porn's great. I don't have any problem with porn, but it's a little weird that she was so close to that, so close to a pot farm that she was originally taken in for pot and released by the police in the middle of the night. And, you know, there's this anonymous California. Deputy. Yeah. California. I didn't think the Las Vegas thing was a little weird.
Yeah, that's weird. But I mean, if she was found in the same clothes that she,
it was definitely her.
I doubt that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Why? Stupid.
Yeah. I definitely like. I thought I've heard. I knew like the surface level of this, but there's a lot of shit behind this. Like, there's a lot of really like they really fucked up this case.
No, Marissa, the internal review board said they did everything right.
That's what I think I said international. I didn't mean international. But
I don't know what you said.
Everything, they did everything how they should have. Including
moving the body from where it was found. No, perfectly fine. Perfectly fine.
Totally fine. No biggie.
Disgusting. That's so weird that her cause of death was undetermined.
Yeah.
Mm. Someone's getting fucking paid off in the coroner's office.
100%.
Mm-hmm.
Just a terrible case. Like, that poor girl. She was clearly, like, suffering from something and then, you know, to be taken advantage of. Somewhere where she should have been safe.
Mm-hmm.
Where her mother trusted that she was safe.
Well, and you know, I think that the cops took advantage of her and then ended up killing her. And you're not going to get video of, like, a cop following her because they hid their videos for so long. So who knows what kind of videos they destroyed or erased. Ugh.
Yeah, like, poor how convenient. Girl. Oh, we just weren't recording. You're a fucking police station.
Oh, yeah. They're like, oh, they just weren't recording. Oh, 8 weeks later. Oh, actually, we found some that did record. So here you go.
Yeah, it's, like, a little bit damning evidence, but, like, not too much. So you can have it if you want.
God.
Yeah. Just awful. Awful, awful, poor awful. Woman. I know. And her mother, like,
ugh. I can't imagine.
Just, ugh. What a tough lady, for sure.
Definitely.
Like, a really tough woman. I don't know. She definitely, she knew.
No one paid for this. Like, yeah, financially, whatever. But, like, no charges were brought against anyone. Like, there's no explanation. Like, fuck that money. Like,
yeah, money's not going to bring their daughter back.
Yeah. Disgusting.
I know.
Pissed.
Sorry, that was a long one.
No, it's good because mine's like super short.
Okay, good.
Okay, gotta calm down for a second. This one I feel is going to rile you up. I think the ending's going to rile you up.
Okay.
So, No relation to your story, but I'm going to talk about the Richardson family murders. What? I know, when you said Richardson, I was like, wait a minute.
What the heck?
All right. You probably heard of this one. This was a pretty popular case. So, on April 24th, 2006, a little neighbor boy went over to see if his friend, 8-year-old Tyler Richardson, could come out and play in their neighborhood in Medicine Hat, Canada. However, as the little neighbor boy approached the house, he looked through the window and he saw what he thought was a body laying in the basement. So he went back home and told his mom, and then his mom called the police. So the police showed up, it was one police officer, and he also saw what looked like at least one body through the basement window. So he called for backup, fearing that the perpetrator was still in the house, which I don't know if that's protocol because, well, things have changed a lot since 2016, but no. I know it was like active shooter protocol, like you have to go in, like you don't wait for backup.
That's what I always thought too.
But this is also Canada, so yeah. I don't know. They're not used to all the violence as much as we
are. They have a nicer place.
When backup arrived, they went into the house and no one in the house was alive. They found dead 42-year-old Mark Richardson, his wife, 48-year-old Deborah Richardson, both in the basement. And then upstairs, they found little 8-year-old Tyler Richardson dead in his bed. All of them were brutally murdered.
No.
But missing from the house was 12-year-old Jasmine Richardson. So their initial thought was that they were afraid that she was a victim of kidnapping.
Yep.
So they put out an Amber Alert to attempt to find her. So as they were searching for Jasmine, they started searching in the house for evidence to see if they could find any information as to what had happened in the house. But as they started going through the house, things became very evident as to what had happened. Most of the evidence they found was digital, so emails, blog postings, things of that nature. And police had found exchanges between 12-year-old Jasmine and her 23-year-old boyfriend, Jeremy.
Ew.
23-year-old.
What are you doing with a 12-year-old?
Jeremy. Ugh, gross. So, Jasmine, she was your typical goody-two-shoes preteen. And then she had met Jeremy Steinke at a punk rock show. Cliff?
Cliff's gonna get fired up about this one.
I tried to find out what band they went to go see, but I couldn't find any info on that. Probably some just, like, local band, but... So she met him at a punk rock show. So she met Jeremy, and he was super into the goth scene. 2006 goth, you know what that looks like.
Yeah, I'm all about subculture, but... I'm sorry, a goth 23-year-old that is dating a 12-year-old? I'm not about that.
So he was super into the goth scene, and he actually said that he was a 300-year-old werewolf.
Of course. I knew it exactly why. He's gross.
Wait, it gets better. Mm. He also would don a vial of blood around his neck.
Of fucking course he would.
And he told his friends that he liked the taste of blood.
Nope, you don't like the taste of blood, honey.
He had an account on a website called vampirefreaks.com.
Of course.
But wait, hold on. I was like, wait a minute. Are you a vampire or are you a werewolf?
Oh, true.
You can't be both. I think you're confused.
Yeah, you can't be a vampire and a werewolf.
I went on vampirefreaks.com, but I think the domain was bought out because it's now like a clothing apparel
God
company.
Damn.
Not sponsored.
That would be awesome.
Yeah, excuse me, vampirefreaks.com. I'm doing an episode and your website got mentioned. So can you send us some masks?
They're selling like some masks stuff
right now.
Okay.
So Jeremy's upbringing was quite different than Jasmine's wholesome one. Jeremy's mom was an alcoholic. Her boyfriend would hit Jeremy. He was bullied as a kid, probably because he was telling people he was a werewolf. And I read somewhere that I think around the age of 10 years old, he already tried to commit suicide by hanging himself. So
that's pretty sad.
Not a happy upbringing.
No.
But regardless, Jasmine was all about it. She loved his style, loved him so much. She started wearing dark clothes, black makeup, which I did the same thing. Of course,
she's 12. We all did that.
Especially, like, this era, like, early 2000s, mid-2000s, yeah. Totally. But, as you can imagine, Jasmine's parents were not okay with her relationship with her goth pedophile boyfriend. So, they were like, no, this is kaput. Like, you're not dating him. You're not to see him. Like, this is done. Done. Like, you know, good parents.
Yeah.
So I have some excerpts of their online interactions. So Jasmine said to Jeremy, "I have a plan. It begins with me killing them and ends with me."
Wait, can you do voices for it?
No, like what? I'm not an actress.
Like a man voice and a little girl voice.
I don't know how to do a little girl voice.
Okay, well, fine.
"I have a plan. It begins with me kill like them and ends with me living with you." I don't know. Sounds like...
Okay.
Okay. Jeremy said in his blog post, this maybe I could be a little bit more dramatic. So he put this in his blog. He said, "Payment! Exclamation point. My lover's rents are totally unfair. They say they really care. They don't know what is going on, but they just assume. Their throats I want to slit. Finally, there shall be silence. Their blood shall be payment."
Your love... She probably doesn't even have her period yet. Your lover...
Jeremy also said to Jasmine, "Well, I love your idea, but we need a little bit more, details." Oh, wait, what is it? A little more? I have a typo. He said, "Well, I love your idea, but we need to get a little bit more creative with, like, details and stuff." You know, and stuff.
Yeah.
Okay, so it became very obvious that Jeremy and Jasmine... This. No, they were trying to kill Jasmine's parents because they said that they couldn't be together. And in fact, Jasmine had told her friends that she was going to kill her parents, but her friends thought she was kidding or not being serious. And I just gotta say, if someone tells you they're going to kill someone, maybe, like, look into it for, like, a second.
Yeah, it's not always a joke.
Maybe say something. I don't know.
I don't think I would joke about that. Like, "I'm going to kill them." Like, I'd be like, "Ugh." I'm going to punch him in the mouth. But, like, I wouldn't do that either. Marissa. Yeah. Like,
Just Marissa being Marissa.
Just being herself.
So within 2 hours of the murder, Jasmine and Jeremy were seen laughing and canoodling at a restaurant. Which, I guess, murder works up an appetite, so they had to go and...
Was she eating a kid's meal? Like, I don't understand.
That's what I was thinking, too. Like, whoever saw them at this restaurant, like, did they think this was, like, her older brother or, like, a young dad? Like, I don't understand.
You know what, though? When JD and I used to go out... to, like, so we did this thing. I would pick out JD's clothes for him when I was at Marywood, and he lived up there, and he'd pick me up, and we'd go shopping, and I'd help him pick out cool clothes, and then we'd go out to eat, and people used to think we were together.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Oh, the worst. And gross. He's like, "That's my little sister. It's gross."
A Also, people just need to mind their own business.
Yeah, but... who cares? Don't be rude.
So anyway, but within a day of finding the bodies, Jasmine and Jeremy were tracked down about 80 miles away in Saskatchewan, Canada. And they were arrested in his truck. So, here's the details of the day of the murders. So, the night before the murders, Jasmine and Jeremy watched Natural Born Killers. I've obviously never seen it because I don't watch movies. But it later on, she did tell a detective that Natural Born Killers was, in my opinion, the greatest love story there ever was.
Oh, my God.
So then, the next day, Jasmine and Jeremy entered the home, and Jeremy killed Deborah first. He was wearing a mask, and he carried a knife. He stabbed Deborah 12 times, including a nearly 5-inch cut into her heart.
Ooh.
So she was, Deborah was obviously screaming, so then... her husband comes down to see, like, what the H was going on. And that's when Jeremy stabbed him 24 times, including 9 times in the back.
Ooh.
So while this is happening downstairs, Jasmine goes upstairs to her brother's room. And her 8-year-old brother was laying in bed, and she stabbed him 5 times.
Oh, my God.
The last time, which is the one that killed him, was a slash across his neck.
What?
Okay, so I was reading this and I was like, okay, so she obviously, but you know what I'm saying. Obviously, she had to kill her parents so her and her boyfriend could be together. But why would she kill her 8-year-old brother?
Right? Yeah, he's not stopping her.
Well, she says later on that she killed her brother because it would have been cruel to let him live and live without parents. Maybe don't kill your parents.
Yeah, how about you just don't kill anyone and don't go out just with don't. A 23-year-old weirdo?
So, Jeremy and Jasmine were arrested for 3 counts of murder each. A few days later, Jeremy's friend Casey Lancaster was charged as accessory to murder because she drove them after the murder and she helped to dispose of evidence. Which, don't get a friend like that. Like, no. God. So, the legal proceedings. So, Canada, I'm not too familiar with their legal system, but what I did read was that they have something called the Youth Criminal Justice Act, which has a lot of stipulations in it. But part of it also includes that a lot of information about youths charged with crimes are kept private. So after she became a suspect, like, they did not release her name to the press or anything like that. She was just referred to as JR during the trial. But the act also put restrictions on punishments of youths. So, under this act, those under the age of 14 cannot be charged as adults. In fact, they can't receive more than a 10-year sentence.
Okay.
So, she was 12 when the crime was committed. So, then on July 9, 2007, she had already turned 13, and she was found guilty of 3 counts of first-degree murder. She, at the time, was the youngest person in Canada to be charged with multiple killings. On November 8, 2007, she was sentenced to 10 years in prison. 18 months were already served while she was in custody. Following the 10-year prison sentence was to be 4 years of psychiatric institutionalization and then 4.5 years of conditional supervision in the community.
Wow.
Jeremy was admitted to the crimes, and he was found guilty by a jury in November 2008, on 3 counts of first degree, or maybe 2007, I have a typo, November, I think, 2007, 3 counts of first, or 8, I don't know, I'm sorry, I have the wrong key here, 3 counts of first degree murder. On December 15, 2008, he was sentenced to 3 life sentences.
Wow.
To be served concurrently, and will be eligible for parole after serving 25 years. The friend, Casey Lancaster, the accessory charge was dropped, and she pled guilty to obstruction and served 1 year house arrest, and she was to refrain from drugs and alcohol. In September 2011, Jasmine started taking classes at Mount Royal College during her final years of sentencing. In October 2012, it was reported that her rehabilitation was going very well, and some people even called her the poster child for Canada's rehabilitation system. In May 2016, all her sentencing was complete. She was done. And she was free to live her life accordingly on May 6, 2016, at the age of 23, which was the age that Jeremy was when the crimes were committed.
Wow.
She is currently living in an undisclosed location under a new name, has a new life, and doesn't have any legal obligations anymore. She's good to go.
Wow.
And Jeremy's still in prison waiting for his 25 years to see if he could get parole.
I mean,
so this is why I thought I'd get you riled up, because I was like, tricky. I don't know what you think about a 12-year-old serving 10 years for killing her parents and her brother.
I feel
like being good to go.
I don't know, because part of me is like, well, she's 12. Like, you know, when you're 12, you definitely aren't in your right mind frame. And I believe he was probably very manipulative.
Mm-hmm.
But I think about being 12 and the way that, you know, your brain works. And she thought that that was like the end all be all and the only option she had. But the other part of me thinks that she should still be in jail. So, like, I'm like, very torn.
I get that at 12 years old, your brain is like nowhere near being developed. But at 12, you still know right from wrong.
Totally.
And killing your family's wrong. And I think she knew that. So
I think she should be in jail probably still.
But here's the thing, too. Like, America's prison system is so flawed. Our prison system is not rehabilitative.
That's very true.
But it looks like Canada's is. So at the same, on the same token, I'm like, well, maybe she is rehabilitated because their system's so much different than ours. So,
but I think that also depends on, and I think this is where we differ a lot, how much you believe you can be rehabilitated,
right?
From after committing crimes like slitting your baby brother's throat and murdering your parents. I don't know how, if you can come back from that.
But she killed her brother because out of compassion, so they didn't have to grow up without parents.
That
she didn't do it maliciously.
That is one of the most ass backwards reasons I've ever heard. I did it because I love him. Like, no, if you loved him, you wouldn't have killed his parents.
Well, that's why. But see, that's where like the underdeveloped brain, because like she
totally
wants to be selfish, so she had the boyfriend kill the parents, but because she couldn't do it. But then at the same time, she's like, oh, well, my brother, so I guess I gotta kill him so he doesn't have to grow up without parents. Mm-hmm. And they can all be together. It's fucked up. It's all fucked up.
Yeah. And I mean, I think Jeremy got exactly what he needed to get.
Oh, totally.
But I think that, you know, she, I think she should probably still be in jail. I really do. I think, you know, there's, when you're 12, you don't always care. You get mad at your parents for things, but like, mm-hmm. you know that as a 12-year-old, no matter how mad you were at your parents, you never once thought about murdering them.
But, and here's the thing too, it's not like it wasn't a spur of the moment thing. It was planned out. Like, they knew when, how, where they were going to do it. It wasn't just an accident, you know.
And you gotta wonder about Jeremy's intellectual capacity for posting this shit all online.
Dumb.
I mean, obviously he was like going out with a 12-year-old, but like, still, if you're gonna kill someone, don't post about it.
I don't know. I do, like, it's so wild too, like how private Canada keeps their information, because I couldn't find anything about what she's doing. I did read somewhere like a neighbor came out that said that that Jasmine's her neighbor and they don't feel comfortable about her living in the neighborhood. I don't know how like valid that report was, but it's not like public information where she is or what she's doing or anything like that. So
I wouldn't want to live next to her.
Yeah.
I don't care how rehabilitated she is.
But, like, so what? Like, she's done. She's, like, good to go. And then Jeremy's still in prison. Which he should be still in prison. But
yeah,
that's what you fucking get.
Yeah, what the fuck is wrong with people? It kind of reminds me of the Gypsy Rose case a little bit.
Right, right.
In, like, a less extreme way. That's, like, another...
I always want to cover the Gypsy Rose, but I'm like, everyone knows it, and it's, like, a lot to put into it, but... I don't know. But that was, like, my little quickie werewolf vampire story for you.
Just,
so.
Like, I bet he wore a fedora. I bet he did.
There is pictures of him from his old social media, so...
What's his name?
Jeremy Steinke.
Steinke.
You can put it like Richardson Family Murders. I'm sure his photo comes up.
Oh. They look different than I pictured them.
What'd you picture them to look like?
I don't know why I picture her to look much more like in a more childish way. Like,
because if you can see this in the bottom. She used to look, like, cute and innocent. And then she decided to get
to
all
be, like,
goth-like.
Spanky.
And, like, her parents are just being good parents. Like, you can't date an adult. Like, what are you talking about?
Yeah. Like, they were just saving her. From...
God.
Ugh. And, you know, they romanticized it so much. Like, it's, like, Romeo and Juliet. Like,
God. Ugh. That's why I want to know, too. They watched that movie the day before they killed the murders. I was like, were they hanging out together? Like, how did they?
They probably watched it, like, online at the same time and, like, chatted about it or something.
Mm, God. Yeah. But that was a quickie. I was too caught up in this week's events to go into depth into... anything, so sorry.
No, I understand. Sorry. No, it's fine. Mine was super long, so.
All right, well, thanks for listening, everyone. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Send us an email, but whatdoweknowpod@gmail.com. Go protest, stand up.
Yay.
Stand up for people who need to be stood up for. Like,
yes.
Use your voice, use whatever platform you have. The world's on fire, we'll get through it, hopefully.
Yep.
And still social distance? I don't know. I still have that to
deal
with.
I don't know.
Still wash your hands.
Or not. Or don't. I don't know.
We don't know anymore.
No.
Corona's over. We're
coronavirus is done. It's canceled. And now we're protesting against racial inequality.
Corona's over. Racial injustice is on.
Yes. We're fighting it. It's time.
Someone tweeted, they're like, man, I feel really bad for kids in the future having to study about 2020 in history class.
There's
a lot of information.
There's a lot. This will be like the 8th grade, like, final chapter that you have to learn about. Or they'll never learn about it because do they teach anything relevant in history class?
Nope.
Ever.
Nope. No. They'll never hear about this.
Nope.
God. All right, we'll talk to you later.
All right. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Stay safe and be cool.
Be cool.
Be cool.